Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
At the end of the day, it's not about what you have or even what you've accomplished. It's about what you've done with those accomplishments. It's about who you've lifted up, who you've made better. It's about what you've given back. Denzel Washington. Welcome to Inspire Vision. Our sole purpose is to elevate the lives of others and to inspire you to do the same.
Hey folks, Dr. Doug here. Thanks for joining us today. You know, years ago, one of the conclusions I came to was that as much as I enjoyed working with business people, as we started to put the applications into their business life, what happened is we started to see that move over into their personal life. And today I am really excited to have a lovely lady on the show with us. Her name is Pat Alva Craker. Pat, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dr. Doug, I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great. And you know, what I find is every time I try to introduce somebody beyond just their name, I always mess it up. So I always give the folks that I'm interviewing the ability and the opportunity to introduce themselves. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself to the audience. You obviously are very successful at what you're doing, helping businesses, helping business people. And I think particularly you're focused on women, are you not?
Yes, I have a passion for women, moving women forward. And that passion really started burning within me when I started working for corporate. And I have 35 years of experience in the IT and engineering industries, which are primarily male-dominated industries.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found myself being the lone ranger in a lot of situations and started to see how women really weren't moving up the ranks in corporate. And I began to mentor women. And if they said, you know, I really want to be at X level by this amount of time, then I would say, let's start working together to put a plan together because I'm going to help you get there. And that's how that passion really was lit in me when I went to corporate. And enjoyed my time with corporate. And, you know, I would say the coaching, which is what I've been doing for over 15 years now, actually, you know, just fell on me as I started mentoring. I started realizing that I had this gift of inspiring, motivating, and moving women forward, and started to work that on the side as I was working for corporate. And went back and forth like you did. You know, when I was in corporate, I was primarily professional women. And then when I retired, I had this little voice that was telling me, you need to help women with their business. So I made the focus, and I expanded my practice to helping women in their business. But I totally agree with you, Dr. Doug, that they are so connected that their success in their business really begins from an internal growth.
Yes.
It's all an inside job. And so I started teaching women how to lead themselves. And the way that surfaced is because I had, you know, three major challenges in my life. I found myself with breast cancer. My husband died at an early age and I got laid off. And the only way, and what I found was the way to pull myself out of those situations was to better lead myself.
Isn't it interesting too, that as you go through those experiences, that mm-hmm. ultimately, as you know, and as I'm sure you teach, you know, when we face certain experiences in our lives, we can choose to either be at the effect of those experiences and kind of get into that victim mode, or we mm-hmm. literally can be grateful for those experiences and actually have them help us to move forward. But what's beautiful is when someone such as yourself have those experiences and you realize that those experiences can help others.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, for me, the lesson that came and really where the development came is when I learned I had the breast cancer. Now I'm 26 years of thriving. Is the wake up? I had a wake up call, and a lot of the situations that happen in our lives are wake up calls. And my wake up call was the fact that I really was not taking good care of myself. I was giving from an empty cup, and I would give to the family, the community, the company, and I was last on the list.
So let me ask you a question here in regards to that.
Yeah.
You know, what I find is that there's a group of people and individuals that when things like that tend to happen, they're not able to be sufficiently aware and be able to actually mm-hmm. confront that situation. Mm-hmm. And I use confront in a positive way.
Sure.
And therefore, that self-growth never occurs and that introspective work never occurs. What, as you've worked with the various women that you have, and even as you experienced it yourself, what do you think it was that allowed you to move into that introspective type of work rather than becoming a victim of what your circumstances were? And then as you've observed and worked with other women, how do you find that they are, and how do you help them to be willing and able to actually be aware enough of what their situation is and to be able to confront it in a good introspective way? Mm-hmm. And so, I'm glad you're writing down all these questions, because I ask a few at the time. Sorry about that.
And you may have to remind me of the questions.
Okay.
Well, for me, the impact was I realized that everything in my life happened for a reason. And if I did not take the time to understand what the message was, what the lesson was in my experience with cancer, there's a chance that I was going to get cancer again. There's going to be something else that was going to bring back the lesson to me in some way or another. So I just, you know, I decided to really spend time with myself and ask myself, what is it that I need to be aware of and learn from this experience? And how do I need to move differently from this point forward? So I did learn that the connection with overgiving was prevalent in my life. And so I wanted to understand, so what is the emotional, the spiritual connection with this physical illness? And once I understood that, then I said, okay, I'm going to take responsibility. Now I know what the lesson is overgiving and not really paying attention to my personal health.
Hey, talk a little bit about overgiving from the standpoint of what that means.
Okay, so for me, overgiving is that, you know, I'm the oldest of five, and I really poured into my family and my sisters in a way that created a foundation for them to be successful in their lives. And so I stepped in a lot in my family to help solve problems that probably weren't even mine to solve. But I stepped in and I overgave, and I had a hard time saying yes. So when people in the community would come to me and they say, well, we want you to be part of this organization because we feel we can make a difference. Yes. Oh, you have the skill set that we need in this organization. Will you help us out on this committee? Yes. And so I just felt.
Okay. So you had a problem saying no, not yes.
I had a problem saying no.
Okay.
And I had a problem detaching myself from solving problems that weren't really mine to solve.
Interesting. And, you know, it seems like as you're mentioning that, you talk a little bit about personal spiritual You almost have to have a bit of faith of some type, I would think, to when we experience those things in our lives that are not necessarily positive from a outside perspective, that literally with that degree of faith and belief, that those experiences can be for our good. If we're willing to really look at those and be grateful for them and understand and figure out what is the good that's coming from this experience.
Exactly. Those are my personal growth, really, a lot of the personal growth, from not me personally, but also with the clients that I work with, is what type of questions are you asking yourself? What type of questions? So for me, is that what am I supposed to learn from this particular experience? And how do I move forward from here? And what I noticed, what I learned about myself is during my cancer experience, is that I really wasn't connected to myself. I really wasn't connected. So I started to connect to myself. I started meditating. I started taking the time to journal and just to really come into my own body and connect with what was important to me, and asking myself, where are these actions coming from? If I am my best advocate, then what is in my highest good to do moving forward? And that brings the answer back to me. It brings the answer into my heart. It brings the answer to connecting with Source and allowing myself to be open for what the answer is and what the best answer is for me.
So you wrote the book, Catherine's Quest.
Yes.
What brought that about? And then I'd love to talk a little bit more about some of those messages that you have in the book.
Yes. So as I went through these different experiences, the cancer experience, losing my husband, and then having to run a 200 acre ranch pretty much by myself when my husband passed, and then being laid off, I began to really study what are the practices that can I bring into my life that are going to pull me up faster than just really sitting back and being more proactive. And as I started researching and trying out spiritual practices, mind, body, and soul practices, I started writing them down. And I said, you know what, this one worked. I like the way this one turned out. And then I started sharing them with my clients. And I would say, okay, these are things that I'm going to ask you to experiment with, like living your life through intention, like meditating every day for 5 minutes. And so then I said, I have a lot to say in regards to self-leadership and getting yourself out of adversity. I need to put this into a book. And to be honest with you, Dr. Doug, when I first wrote the book, I had 31 spiritual practices for women entrepreneurs.
Would you say that again? You kind of cut out. Say that again about your practices.
Yes. So when I first wrote the book, I had 31 soulful practices for women entrepreneurs. And when I decided work with the team said, you have 3 books in this 1 book. I want you to take your best practices from the 31 and let's work on a book that highlights a portion. And we decided that, so I outlined what those practices were, and then I wrote a story around them. I wrote a story of a woman who lost her husband, she lost her job, she lost her business, and she lost her home. And how Catherine pulled herself out of those situations through self-leadership by utilizing these practices that are actually built into the book. So she visits 7 different islands through a journal that her uncle wrote, who was looking for happiness. And in every island, there were a set of values that were exhibited by the people who lived in that island that just began to open up her awareness and her uncle's awareness of what it takes to live beyond happiness,
so,
which is a choice.
Are you willing to talk about those seven islands and just mention some of those values? I'd love for you to do that.
Yeah. So the first island is Alea. And Alea is an island about living your life open and empty, and just allowing yourself to be open to life and paying attention to everything that goes on around you. Because when you're open and empty, you're not living under any assumptions. You're open to receiving those messages. The second island is Conception. And Conception Island is about understanding that we're all in a sacred journey. And things are going to happen on our journey that are all part of it. And it's all happening for a specific reason. And to live wide-eyed in on the path of least resistance. So path of least resistance means that you go with the flow. And you allow yourself for the situations to be presented that are in your highest good, and to step into those situations.
I like that. You know, when you said that, what immediately came to my mind is that which we resist persists. And what you're really talking about is that as we move through and we observe these things, to be able to accept them and embrace them. Is that what you're saying about island number two?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 Island number three is called Socrata. And this is about, are you living your life or is life living you? Are you living your life or is life living you? And so one way that presents itself in our days is, are you responding to situations versus reacting? Responding means you take a deep breath, you step back, you connect, and you say, what is in my highest good here? What should I do in this situation? And then you take the action.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that too, I love different types of behavioral and personality mm-hmm. profiles. And the one thing that I have learned over the years is that we all have a social, or what I would refer to as an imprinted personality, which is all the shoulds, the have-tos, the ought-tos. Anytime anything comes into our mind that we're hearing that, that's the life that we're living. And guess what? In most cases, that is not our genuine life. So I think sometimes we're living our parents' lives or our teachers' lives or our friends' mm-hmm. lives, but not our own. How do you go in and discover that? How do you discover who you really are?
So one of the questions that I personally ask myself and I ask my clients is, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want out of your life? If you were to paint a picture of your ideal life, of your ideal business, what would it look like? What would it smell like? What would it feel like? Who would you be around? And having them start getting that level of clarity within that environment. And then I ask them, what do you value? What do you value? Because when you live your life from what you value, you are actually creating your ideal life. So even if you value integrity, adventure, growing, impact, fun, then you will live your life that way. And it also helps you create boundaries in your life. So if you're a person that values integrity, you don't do business with people that are dishonest.
And you don't hang around people who are dishonest.
And you don't hang around people that are dishonest. So it's, what do you want, the level of clarity, and then what do you value? And then those two will start shaping an ideal life for women in their life and in their business. Because like you said, Dr. Doug, they are extremely connected.
Well, and how do you, you know, as you're working with a client and one of your clients is experiencing something that has been affecting, they've been at the effect of them, they've kind of been the victim of that. Mm-hmm. How do you help them to learn how to literally embrace it so that ultimately they're able to release it?
Mm-hmm. So many times when they're a victim and they're in that role, I ask them, so what are you believing in your life? What are you believing about that situation? A lot of times it comes back to a belief system that really no longer works for them. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask them, so you have this belief that you're not enough. So let's just put that belief out there and let's just go ahead and take action anyway. Whatever you're feeling in regards to this situation, let's not let that feeling affect what you do over here. So I help them start separating the effect beliefs are having, the effect their emotions are having, and saying, yep, you're there, but I'm going this way anyway. I'm going to still take action. I am not going to let my beliefs and my emotions affect what I do.
And you know what? So oftentimes it becomes a habit that we allow that to affect us. So how does one change that habit? And I firmly believe that we are able to change. And many times it's habits that we are allowing to affect us, mm-hmm. even if it's allowing those imprinted beliefs.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Systems that are literally affecting us in a negative way. How do we change those habits? And how long do you find it takes for someone to be able to change a habit in their life to where they move from unhappiness mm-hmm. to true happiness and joy?
So it begins with a level of awareness. Being the observer and watching yourself as you're going through a specific, your life. There's one exercise that I teach women in order to start being aware of where these beliefs and their emotions are, preventing them from having the life that they want or taking the actions that they want. And it's called unraveling. And so we talk about unraveling in the island of Socrata, which is about, are you living your life or is your life living you? So unraveling means that at the end of your day, before you go to bed, you play your day out as if it was a movie and you watch yourself and you ask yourself, okay, so this particular meeting really went well. This conversation really went well. What made it go well? Or this situation did go as I was thinking. What happened that prevented me from getting the ideal outcome from this situation? What will I do differently? What did I learn? And you go through that cycle every night and you become aware of where you're getting stuck, where you're letting your fear stop you. You're letting a belief get in the way of getting what you want. And when you start seeing that happen, you start seeing that pattern over and over and over again. After a week, you're going to say, yeah, this week I stopped asking for what I wanted because I was so afraid of getting rejected. So rejection is a belief that is working against me. So what am I going to do? What will I do differently? And it's in that observation and that awareness that you start seeing your patterns. If you can't see your patterns, you're not going to be able to change.
Okay, so are we still on island three or did I jump you ahead?
No. Okay, so that's island three. So island four is Menando. I love that, Menando. So island four is about flow. And it's about bringing in all your gifts, understanding that you are a compilation of your beliefs, your gifts, your talents, and asking yourself, how am I bringing my unique gifts out into the world and making an impact? How can I turn that into an offering? How can I coach people? How can I bring what I have out into the world and making people think outside the box when it comes to that? The next line, the next one is Fayin, and that is a life of living a life of fulfillment and asking yourself, what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? Not a successful life, because a successful life and a fulfilled life are two different things.
Explain.
Right. So successful, you can be successful, you can make $1 million, you can have the titles, you can go, you know, you can have all the material wealth that you want, but inside you're not really happy. Inside there's a void. Inside there is something that is really still yet to be filled. So when you live a life of fulfillment, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter of the title. It doesn't matter what you have. It's about the how it makes your heart sing and how you're contributing and how you're allowing yourself to receive those things.
You know, that's interesting. I've spent some time in Vietnam in 2019 and made some very dear friends. And in the U.S. terms, they were as poor as church mice. And yet they were some of the happiest people that I have ever met. And they continue to be. I stay in touch with them usually, at least on a monthly basis, if not a biweekly basis. And to me, it's fascinating that we set so many expectations, particularly here in the United States, that we have so many expectations that we personally set on ourselves, that others set on ourselves, that we see through social media and all of those types of things. And the next thing you know, we're never able to meet up to those expectations, which I think creates that sense of loss. And yet what you're talking about is there is a way to actually experience a life of fulfillment regardless of those peripheral aspects of wealth, of things, of toys, all that type of thing. How do you do that? How do you do that?
You know, it comes back to what is that you value, and are you doing what you really love? Are you doing what you really love and what you've been gifted to do? You can love to write, and you have a job that does anything but that, just because you want to have X, whatever X is, when your really passion is, you know, writing. So one of those questions is, are you really living your truth? You know, are you really living your truth? Are you really living your passion? Because if you live your passion, the rest comes.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you there for a second. All right. I have interviewed a few people, and I've actually observed this in business, where as we talk about that, and by the way, I totally believe and agree with what you're saying, but what I see happening sometimes, and I've wondered if you've seen this happen, is you're teaching that to someone that all of a sudden they say, all right, I'm in this 9-to-5 job, but here's my real passion, and I'm just going to quit my job, and I'm just going to go out and do my passion. And yet they do have some financial responsibilities and so forth. Do you find sometimes people jump a little bit too fast? And is there a way that you can move slowly to where you can move from being able to survive and having those basic needs into your passion without totally jumping out of the boat and all of a sudden finding that you may be drowning?
Exactly. So I never recommend women do that, is just turn around and leave. I say, if this is your passion, where in your current job can we find that passion in your job? Where? If you love to write, where are the opportunities in your job to actually start writing? Where can you find those? So I move them from wearing that blinder of this is the role that I'm in to, let me expand your role and see where you can ask to be a contributor in an area where you can write. The other thing is, let's create a plan that over a year's time, you can migrate from working for corporate into your own business so that you're financially set when you're ready to take that leap. It's really getting clear about what they really want to do, and then setting a plan to gradually move to that place.
Excellent. So that's, where are we at? Island four?
So that was fan. So six is love, and it's about self-love, connecting with yourself, trusting yourself. And then island seven is the island of elation, which is beyond happiness. And here the point is that we are always a choice. In our lives, we are always a choice to have a great day. We're always a choice to have a lousy day. We're always a choice to attracting people, things, and situations to move our life forward, or we choose to be the victim. We are always a choice.
Well, and if we choose, but let me ask you a question, because as I was on your website, one of the things I noticed that you mentioned just shortly there was talking about fear. And talking about the, you know, that we're afraid of knowing how to do something, we're afraid of ourselves, the lack of confidence, maybe I'm not good enough to do this. How do you find fear is affecting people, particularly with your clients? And that's number one question. And then number two question is, how do they overcome that fear? Because what I found is oftentimes the fear of the known is actually less fearful than the fear of the unknown.
That is true. And that's because they know what to expect, right?
Yes, you know, exactly.
Yeah, you know, if you're fear of the known and you know what's going to expect, then you kind of say, okay, I got a feeling, I'm going to brace myself. I know this is coming. But when it's the unknown, you have no clue. It takes a step of faith, right, to step into that. And really, we've been tested with the coronavirus in as women business owners have had to pivot in their business.
Yes.
They've had to pivot. They, you know, before they had a brick and mortar place and they had a lot of traffic coming through the downtown area and, you know, they didn't have to worry a lot about the marketing because it was just all right there. Well, guess what? Nobody's downtown anymore. So the pivot is, okay, so how are we going to get you online? How are we going to get your products online? And you know what? It's time for you to talk about your business and how you're pivoting and what it takes to pivot. Right now, a lot of consumers are wanting to get to know entrepreneurs at a deeper level. They want to know what happens in your back office. You know, what happens when you have discussions with your team? I mean, everything is not rosy. So what happens when you have to, you know, you have to bring in someone new, or, you know, you, something happens and you, you don't have electricity or you lose the internet or whatever happens. How do you pull yourself out of that? So people want to know that we are real. We're real. And, you know, things happen. And this is how in my business, you know, I learned how to pivot. And people want to know that about you. And so it's learning how to pivot and say, you know, you've got to look at your business a different way. What if we just started experimenting? As entrepreneurs, that's what are at our core. We are experimenters. We try stuff, and if it works, okay, that didn't work. We try something else, and okay, you know, we're getting more response over here. So in as an entrepreneur, we're always trying different things. And so you, as an entrepreneur, you cannot be afraid of trying things because you're going to fail. I tell my clients, go out there and fail fast. Go out there and fail fast. I want you to start doing things and I want you to test this and you come back and you tell me how it worked. And then we're going to try something else and we're going to try something else. I want you to fail fast. Because once you start getting to the point where you're experimenting and you fail, okay, lesson learned. You start losing that fear of getting out there and trying new things.
So action actually helps to overcome fear.
Absolutely. You can't let the fear hold you back. You have to say, okay, I know you're there. You're not driving in this car. You're sitting in the back seat because I'm driving this car and we're moving forward.
So after having written the book, and how long has the book been out?
September.
Okay. So have you had some feedback? Have you had people contact you and share the impact that your book has had in their lives? And if so, could you share a couple of stories with us?
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm hearing from women is, you know what, I didn't think of my life as always being at choice. You know, I'm always at choice. You know, I did what my family, what my husband wanted me to do, what my customers wanted to do, but I didn't really come back and ask myself, what do I really want? Because I am at choice. So being at choice is one prevalent comment that I come back and I said, now, you know, I live my life differently because I know I'm always at choice. And the other is, I didn't really pay attention to my days to know how I can make my days better. The unraveling exercise that I talked about, they come back and say, once I started doing the unraveling exercise, I started noticing things about myself that I never noticed. So the level of self-awareness that really gets tweaked as a result of going through the entire book and practicing, you know, the exercises that I'm asking to do is, I didn't know it was a choice. And wow, I really learned a lot about myself doing this unraveling exercise.
Cool. Well, and you talk about choice and choosing. Do you find the words that people use? Do you have them do affirmations at all?
All the time. In fact, my book comes with a journal and affirmation cards.
Okay, so let's talk about affirmations, because that kind of is varied an opinion about the value of affirmations. So I'd love for you to share what you have experienced with affirmations. And is there specific wording in our affirmations that actually move us more forward than other words?
Yes. So I'm a believer in affirmations. I have a stack of affirmation cards that I have personally created for myself, and I read those on a daily basis. I also, as affirmation, at the beginning of the year, I write a letter saying, this is where I'm going to be December 31st. And I affirm what I want to occur in my life from a point of I'm experiencing, from a, like, it is already here. So the words do matter. I am is the way that I ask everyone to start their affirmations. I am successful. I'm going to have an amazing call with Dr. Doug. I am whole and free. I am in the flow of my life. Yeah.
And you know,
it's not I'm going to, or when I, yeah.
And I think that's so important. I've written a couple of papers on that. And in fact, one chapter in the book that I participated in, I talk very much about that. The fact that beingness, the I am, is so important before we ever move into the doingness or the havingness of a situation. And I actually quote Abraham Lincoln talking about, you can be who you choose to be. And once you have done that, then you can have what you have if you do what you need to do. But so often I think people reverse that. And, you know, I saw this particularly with dentists who I happen to have been in my past life. And it's interesting because there's a mentality of having so that we can be. Mm-hmm. In other words, I want to appear successful, therefore I need to have. Now I look successful, and now I have to do, my goodness, I got to work 20 hours a day just to pay for all those things that I have so that I could be. And it's interesting that we lose sight of the fact that being, becoming, I am. I love what you're talking about with the affirmations, because I think that really sets the foundation of being able to then choose to accomplish what we choose to accomplish and have what we choose to have.
I totally agree with you. So an affirmation that I have is, it comes with be, have, and do. I can be, do, and have anything I want. I can be, do, and have anything I want. And I believe that we can be, do, and have anything we want as long as we don't hurt other people in the process.
And that, I think, has a lot to do with our being.
Mm-hmm. Because when you come from love, and that's one of the, from the love island, is do everything from a position of love. Everything.
So if you had a message that you could, you know, this is so tough to do, but if you had a message that you wanted to share with our audience today, mm-hmm. what would that be?
The message would be, is that whatever circumstance happens in your life, that you can pull yourself out of it by just learning how to better lead yourself. And you do that by being fully present, by living through intention, and embracing your journey.
I love it. Pat, thanks so much for being on the show.
I appreciate this time with you, Dr. Doug. Thank you.
You bet. So how do folks get a hold of your book?
Oh, yeah. So you can come to my website is majesticcoachinggroup.com. You can go to the book. In fact, your listeners can download chapter one for free. You will fall in love with the book when you read chapter one. And you can buy the book at my website. And you can buy the journal and the affirmation cards as a bundle. And just go to my website, majesticcoachinggroup.com, and get my book there. Download your first chapter for free, and then come back and buy the bundle.
Great. And they have the opportunity, at least the women do, of being able to get in contact with you personally if they would like to get your help.
Absolutely. So my offer to your audience is, when you buy the book and you go through one of the islands, and you have a question on one of the practices, book 30 minutes of my time and we'll talk about it.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for being on the show. I really have appreciated your insights. Folks, thanks for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to having you join us again soon. So this is Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug and Friends Radio. Have a wonderful and a safe week.